I would like for you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus, to the second chapter and the first verse. And we'll begin there in just a moment in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm bringing a brief series of messages on women you need to know. And I want to sound a little bit alarming as a preacher of the gospel about you needing to know certain women. But there are women you need to know because of the way God has used them so magnificently in human history. And I'm cheering the girls on and trying to elevate what I believe God elevates in womanhood as we consider the place He gives it in the Christian faith. We've only had one message on Deborah, and she certainly got a lot accomplished for the Lord and challenged men to do what they needed to do and to exercise faith in God. And now we're looking at another one, not as well known, but we find her story in the bondage in Egypt as God uses her to do something in the life of a child that has literally made a difference in your life and mine. The Bible says, if you'll follow along in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Who is this woman? Well, if you hold your place here and turn with me to other places in the Word of God, we find her name given. And then when we find her name given, God tells us that she is a woman. If you look at one reference in the book of Numbers, chapter 26 and verse 59, "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister." We're looking at the life of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, the wife of a man named Amram, and the amazing story of her life and what she accomplished for God in saving her child in obedience to God her child being the one who grew up to be the mighty deliverer Moses, a man God used to change the whole world. As a matter of fact, if you look for mountain peak men in the Old Testament and mountain peak men in the New Testament, we might all agree that Paul is the mountain peak outside of Christ in the New Testament. And I think most everyone would agree that the man Moses was the mountain peak of men in the Old Testament. What an amazing man. But it's not the man we're going to consider. We want to consider his amazing mother. Somewhere living in a little hut in the bondage of Egypt, there was a mother with three children who lived with great courage and great faith and great obedience to God. And if you're a lady listening, or if you love your wife and your daughters, I want you to remember that this woman was a woman of great courage. And our ladies can be women of great courage. She was a woman of great faith and a woman of great obedience to God. Those three elements ought to be found in every lady's life who wants to be mightily used of God. We're going to mark some things. I want you to write them down if you would, please. First, the hostile world in which she lived. And was it a hostile world? People complain sometimes about what they go through, what they've been through, and the world in which they live, but I don't think anyone has lived in more danger and hostility than Jochebed lived at this particular moment in Egypt. Let's look a little bit at the first chapter in the book of Exodus. The Bible says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died. And all his brethren, and all that generation. Now remember, Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. He was the person in power next to the Pharaoh. He had been used of God to make a breadbasket for the whole world, not just to save Egypt. And he found the greatest favor with the king of Egypt. But now he's dead. Things have changed. And changed so drastically that God records the change in these simple words: and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king in Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And in that little expression, which knew not Joseph, God is revealing to us that troubled times have come. There's nothing about the Israelites being appreciated about the Egyptians now. The tide has changed. They're unwanted. And also they're being feared because they're multiplying so rapidly. These strange people who came to Egypt are now considered to be a threat to all of Egypt. And the Bible says, when this new king had arisen, in verse 9 of chapter 1, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, job number one, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And when they were grieved because of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Now, just as a little parenthesis, I believe we'll see those two women in glory, not because of the work they did, but because of the faith they had in the true God to do that work. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Now, I know that Jochebed would have been familiar with the fact that living in Egypt was a difficult thing. She and Amrab did the best they could. They served the Lord and worshiped the true God, the God of Israel, who is the only true and living God. And they dealt with many difficult things. The Bible says their lives were made bitter in the work, and all work was done with rigor to explain how difficult the job was. And I'm sure many a time she thought, someday, somewhere, God is going to break through, as he's promised our father Abraham that he will. And we've carried that promise all these years. And they will go 430 years in Egyptian bondage till finally God hears their weeping and prayer and delivers them. It wasn't just the prayers of the generation that was delivered. It was the weeping and the prayer of many generations as they dealt with the hostility and cruelty of Egypt. I believe that I'm being blessed, not just because people are praying for me now, but I believe I'm being blessed because my great aunts, who were born in the late 1800s, prayed for me when I was born and when I was a little boy. And God is still hearing and answering prayer for them and others who have joined in that. I'm telling you, for generation after generation, these people were burdened, painfully afflicted, and cried out to God for his deliverance. This young woman, Jochebed, found herself living in a hostile world until finally she heard the most powerful man in the world had issued a decree that every boy born to a Hebrew would be put to death immediately. Can you imagine when she was expecting this third child? She'd already given birth to a girl named Miriam, who was a young, lively girl living in this condition. She'd already given birth 3 years earlier to a boy named Aaron. And she told Amram one day, I'm expecting another baby. And they thought, if it's a boy, remember the decree that's been made. Can you imagine what that young mother went through? My wife and I deal with people sometimes who are expecting children, and they get reports from a doctor, and they get worried and fretting, and they think something might be wrong, and lots of anxiety goes on, and sometimes things work out wonderfully well, and they were just scared for no reason at all. Sometimes there's something with which to deal. But this woman knew from the day she conceived and recognized she's going to have a baby, that if her baby was a boy, they would do everything within their power in all of Egypt to take this male child and immediately put him to death. And no doubt, she'd seen other women go through the same heartache. I want us to stop and think sometimes when we're complaining about everything imaginable and talking about what we're living in and the difficulty we have, what some people in this world have gone through and what some people God has told us about have suffered through. This little girl, Jochebed, her name means the glory goes to God. And no doubt that's the life she was living. She lived in a hostile world. The baby came. She recognized not only was this a boy, but he was unusual. Let me just show you a couple of interesting things about what God says in verse 2 of chapter 2. Look at it, mark it in your Bible. The Bible says he was a goodly child. When Stephen is preaching in the book of Acts, if you'd like to mark this reference in the 7th chapter of Acts, when he's talking about the birth of Moses and the faith of Amram and Jochebed, he tells us in the 20th verse, in which time Moses was born, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, and was exceeding fair. Now you may laugh at this idea. I think all babies are beautiful. I have to say that because I'm a pastor and I've been showed so many of them. Though secretly I may think there's not one redeeming quality in this child, but we all say, what a beautiful, beautiful little girl or beautiful little boy. And in reality, they all are. But this child was different. God did something out of the ordinary for this child. He was striking, a proper child, goodly. And here in the Word of God, God records that he is exceedingly, think about that, he is exceedingly fair. Keep that in mind. She's hiding him. It's pretty difficult to hide a baby, but she's hiding him. Aaron's going to be all right. He was born before this decree. And Miriam's going to be all right. She's the oldest of the children. But this little baby has to be hidden. And I can only imagine some of the things she thought about when he was crying. Or maybe he had some sickness. Maybe anything that brought him to tears. Or even a grunt. Thinking it would be heard. Maybe in my imagination, and it can be sort of excessive at times, I think how she even hid the idea, perhaps as much as she could, that she was an expectant mother, but then gave birth. But finally, the Bible says, when she could hide him no more. When she could hide him no more. Listen to how God records this. The Bible says in chapter 2 of Exodus, and when she could no longer hide him, when she could no longer hide him, too big to hide, too small a quarters, too close a company with others, too easily heard, that the hiding day is over. I've read some of these horror stories about Nazi Germany and people hiding. I have heard some people talk about places in the world where people are being killed for their faith and they're hiding. It's not just the fact that they're hiding somewhere. They live in constant fear in the midst of all that hostility and threatening that they'll be found. And this little mother, admire her please. knew that she could no longer hide her baby. But keep in mind, she lived in a most hostile world. Then the second thing I want us to look at is the heart of this mother. There's something special about her. I hear people name their children after people they admire. Perhaps it may be a little difficult sounding, but if a person is a Christian and knows the Bible, they would recognize if you named one of your daughters someday Jochebed, that you would mean that her whole life is for the glory of God. That's what her name means. Jochebed. And you young mothers and young adults, you young ladies, I want you to listen, because you can make a difference and God can use you, and you could do something to change this world with your actions. Maybe you'd like to write this down. When there's such hostility, when there's a time and place when it is so difficult, perhaps I can say it this way, when there are extraordinary circumstances, it requires extraordinary faith. I was with Dr. Lee Robertson preaching in a meeting years ago. We were in a certain place. I won't tell you where. It's a beautiful place. I thought it was lovely. Very relaxing, almost like a vacation area. And he and I went to the mall, of all things. He wanted to buy something he had left behind. And on our journey back, he said to me, "Clarence, let me tell you something. I could never have done my best work in this place." Sort of surprised me, so I, curious cat that I am, I said, "Well, explain that to me." He says, "Too relaxing. Not difficult enough. Everybody's at ease. No one wants to be challenged." You see, that's the place the flesh looks for. But when there are extraordinary circumstances, challenging, difficult times, you can't just do business as usual. Great faith is required to accomplish great things for God. Hudson Taylor, in the China Inland Mission, he surveyed the area around China and he saw all the coastal things were going on, but he said somebody must go inland. He studied medicine. He said somebody must go inland. Many people didn't believe in what he was doing, but he said somebody must go inland. And it was tough, challenging. And you and I, if reading the history of Hudson Taylor, hear about the great exploits of Hudson Taylor, or we read about the great exploits of any missionary in a difficult area, remember that those extraordinary circumstances challenge them to extraordinary faith and attempting great things for God. May the Lord help us not to get at ease in Zion. May God help us. So, time is up. Baby's got to go. You're a child. What are you going to do? And the only way she can keep this child is to give him to God and give him away. The only way she can keep him is to give him away. And you and I somewhere as parents learn that we can raise them for ourselves or raise them for some task that they are fond of doing, but the only way we can really keep them and have them in this special way that God's provided for a parent is if we give them, truly give them to Him. So the Bible says very plainly, she starts working. I imagine she was very crafty at this, but she started working, and the Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 2, "And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." Where'd she get that plan? Hey, Hey, Jochebed, where'd you get that idea? That's not a baby crib you're building. It's a baby boat. And no shipbuilder in the whole wide world since shipbuilding began, I think, never took the pain and carefulness that Jochebed took to make sure her little boat was exactly the way it's supposed to be. She did her part. Where'd she get the idea? No doubt God put it in her heart. And she was to take the baby to the most dangerous place possibly to be imagined, where the issue of killing babies had come from, where the power was, the most powerful family in the world resided. And she got Miriam involved in it. And she told her what we're going to do. And she built this little boat of bulrushes, papyri or something along the shore. She gathered it, made sure it was tight, seaworthy, found the pitch. That takes some work. Prepared it so she could use it. And she began to daub that boat with it. Can you see this young mother working? Would you like to go into her little workplace and ask her, what are you doing all this for? And she would tell you, because God has led me. Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense to anybody, but it's what God's led me to do. What do you hope to happen? God has not told me the end of it. He just led me to start doing this. And you're going to find, young lady, that you start on a journey with God, and God may not give you all you're going to get done someday. But if you keep following Him, He'll lead you step by step, day by day. And so one day she said, got it finished. And she got the little baby, this beautiful boy child, put him inside it. And now, the greatest test she's ever had. And you'll have yours someday. She took that baby in that basket to the river's edge. And she turned loose of it. And the distance reached quickly from the current of the water where it could not be retrieved was the greatest faith moment in her life. He's gone, Lord. He's in your hands. And there he floats. Whatever that woman had in her heart, the faith and the courage and the obedience to God and the willing to listen to God is what every young woman and every young mother needs in her heart. And she's believing the Lord. She wanted something for her child that she couldn't give him. And she trusted God with him to bring it to pass. We've seen the hostile world in which she lived and the heart of Jochebed. Now I want us to look at the hand of God. You know the story, don't you? How the princess of Egypt came out. They're bathing in the shallow parts of the water, and someone spots this object. They know it's something different. It's not a sea creature of some kind. Curiosity is aroused, and they send for it. Go fetch that basket. And now watch God work. Miriam is thrilled to death because she's no doubt conversing and saying, oh, Mama, look what God is doing. Look what God is doing. And when the basket is brought to the princess, she opens the basket And remember that God worked overtime on that particular baby. He's one good-looking kid, exceedingly fair. She recognizes immediately, no doubt, with that dark hair and dark eyes, this is a Hebrew child, but what a beautiful, beautiful, exceedingly fair, the Bible says, child. And just for extra measure, God told one of his chief angels, pinch him, pinch him. And he started crying. And the Bible says he wept. And every woman's heart would be touched by a baby's tear. And she lifts him to herself. And immediately, watch God's hand, immediately Miriam rushes up into the presence of the Egyptian princess and says, wouldn't you like to have someone who could feed him? I think she's assuming, you are going to keep him now, aren't you? She said, I can find one of the Hebrew mothers, no doubt the obvious implication is that's been deprived of her baby boy, who could still nurse a baby, and I can get this baby to that nurse. And I want you to listen to the language God uses. This is the word of God, the language God uses to reward Jochebed. The Bible says in verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. God bless her. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, as she's looking into the face of her mother, Jochebed, the mother of this baby that the Pharaoh's daughter will call Moses, take this child away and nurse it for me. And I will give thee wages. I'm going to pay you to keep and nurse your own baby. How great is God? What is he able to do? I want to tell you, girls, I want you to think what God is able to do with you and for you. You don't ever need to be minimized. There's nothing too big for God. And there's no one considered too small for God to use. I want you to think what God could do with you. How wonderfully and graciously and gloriously he rewarded Jochebed. She got the right name, didn't she? All the glory to the Lord. Her faith was rewarded. God reached in. And he worked something so miraculous, it's almost impossible to believe if it wasn't in the Word of God. That the most powerful girl in the world, no doubt, the daughter of the Pharaoh, is now going to ensure safe keeping of the man who will become a man, this boy child, that will be the mighty deliverer of Israel and lead the people of God out, all because Jochebed was willing to exercise faith, have courage, and obey the Lord. There she goes. Look at her, please. And the woman took the child and nursed it. I don't know how long that lasts in their culture. It can go for a number of early years in a child's life. And don't you know that that little baby heard from his mother every story about God and God's word and all the greatness of God, and it was all placed in his heart so that it could never be taken away, even though he was put in the greatest education resources in all of Egypt. I'd just like to stop here for a minute. I don't want to pry. I'm going to show propriety. The Bible says mother's nursing him. And the child grew, and she brought him unto the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. You say, how could she have ever brought him back? How could she not have brought him back, knowing how great her God is and all that God had done and all that God will do? You see, you and I need to learn that we serve the Lord because of what he's done, not in order to try to bargain with him to get something done. We pause to think on the greatness and goodness of God and the record God has for us and with us and his blessings on us. And because of all he's done for us, we want to serve him and live for him. And I'm standing there smiling in my mind's eye. It may be just a little hut in Egypt. It may be just the least kind of thing you could imagine someone would live in. But the greatest work you could ever imagine is going on in that little hut where Jochebed has been rewarded for her faith. And God is doing something that the world will be shaken by. I want you to think of Jochebed, and I want you to thank God for women like that. And I want you to say, God, give me this kind of faith. Help me to see that my children, once given to you, can be a blessing to me all my life. Amen. Ask God to help you have the courage to speak and to do what God leads you to do. And follow the Lord's direction. It may seem foolish to the world. It may look foolish to the world someday. When she was building her little boat, is a lot like Noah building his. But she knew God wanted her to do it that way. And he rewarded her faith. And you're planting and sowing for the Lord, and someday, today and days to come, you will reap bountifully as you serve the Lord and live for the Lord. Get those dreams in your heart. Keep your confidence in God. And know that God uses women in a marvelous way. And make this one of the women you recognize that you need to know. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?